Influencers, men's ministry.
Lord, shine your light on me. Lord, shine your light on me. You're the Heavenly Father. You're the King of Kings. So Lord, shine your light on me.
This kind of love, unconditional love, is the divine solution for a fallen world populated by imperfect human beings. It's never boastful or proud. It's never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not easily angered, nor is it irritable or touchy. It keeps no record of sins and hardly even notices when others do it wrong. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices whenever truth wins out. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him, no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. This love never fails. It will go on forever. That's what we're talking about in here. We're talking about love. We're talking about God's love. You know, anytime you fill a room like this full of men, you have two kinds of guys. You have guys that know Jesus, as Sam was just saying, and guys who don't know Jesus. You have religious guys, and you have true spiritual Christian guys. And of the Christian guys, we have two kinds of guys. We have Christians who probably know Jesus as their Savior, but not Lord. They'd be called carnal Christians. They'd be called more worldly than they are Christian. And then there are the guys that know that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. He's a sovereign God who created them. He has a plan for them. They want his plan, not theirs. Those are the guys that are most likely to be able to listen and hear a message on love and God's unconditional love. Carnal guys still have conditional love. They're still, it's all about them. In this passage, I didn't read the whole passage today, but if I had, would have seen. But when I was a child, I used to think as a child and speak as a child and act like a child. But when I became a man, I changed my thinking. I put those childish things behind me. And so we're talking about putting childish things behind us when it comes to spiritual life and power and discipline. We're talking about rising to a new level of living life and loving life and others with God's love. It's the love that comes when you sacrifice, you surrender, you give up, you let go. There's so much in your life and mine we have to let go of if we're ever going to grab hold of the Holy Spirit and all that he gives us when he comes into our hearts. You know, some guys, as one man put it, open the door to Christ and walk through and just stand there. They're not growing. They're not walking with him. They see him at a distance and follow at a distance. And so we have this dilemma that we're trying to get over. And that's this dilemma of getting free. It's a dilemma of finding the truth that sets us free and embracing the truth that sets us free. We know a lot about God's love. God's love is described as unconditional. It's not truly unconditional because there's a lot of, if you'll do this, I'll do that with God. Where God expects us to live the life. He expects us to be obedient. And when we are, there's a blessing. And when we're not, there's consequences that we have to face. Unconditional means it's not limited. When God says, you know, guy, I love you. Now, most guys don't believe God loves them. They're still on a performance base. If you're on a performance-based system, if you still think that you have to work harder to get God to love you, you'll never believe God loves you because you cannot work hard enough. If you think you have to do more, give more, serve more, know more, you're never going to believe God loves you. The only way that you're going to understand and believe God loves you is you have to understand that you cannot do more and get God to love you more. There's not enough you can do. And it's just as you finish that project of doing all you can do, he says, I still love you the same way I loved you before. I can't love you any more than I already loved you. You know, when you were back there not doing projects and not trying and you were just living for yourself and you were into your own stuff, all that sin and crud you were doing, I didn't love you any less then than I love you now. I still loved you then. That's unconditional love. You know, we tell each other, you know, man, I really love you, guy. Conditionally, you understand. I don't just unconditionally love you. You're going to have to act and treat me in a certain way. If you don't treat me that way, I'm not going to love you. Matter of fact, I may go on the warpath with you. You sow the wind with me, you're going to reap the whirlwind. As long as you know that, I love you. As long as you understand that this love we're talking about is not agape love, okay? God will love you unconditionally, okay? I'm going to love you conditionally. You have to act in a certain way. Conditional love means they're changeable if deemed unqualified or if certain limitations are not met. That's the reason I shudder when I lead couples through their marriage vows. Because it goes back to, are you a sinner? I'm adding this to my wedding after all this we're going through now. So probably won't want me to marry you if you're going to get married. But I'm going to ask him, I'm going to say, Joe Bob, are you a sinner? People in the South hadn't heard about me yet. They'll still ask me, are you a sinner? Yes, I am. Well, then, as a sinner, are you going to hurt Julie Ann? Yes, I will. Do you intend to hurt her? No, I don't. Now, as I said last week, the day will come when he will intend to hurt her, or she will intend to hurt him. That's where this goes when you have conditional love. No one can live under conditional love. You cannot meet the conditions. No one can live under the law without breaking the law. And if all you have to do is break half of one, and that makes you a sinner. It puts you separated from God. So you can't last under conditional love. You can't make people happy under conditional love. And it hurts when you can't. It's disappointed. You're frustrated because you're running harder. You're trying harder, but you just stumbled. And so everything you did that was good now is not good anymore. That's the way it works in relationships, especially marriage relationships. Somehow, and I read this 1 Corinthians passage every time in a wedding ceremony, but somehow we miss that keeps no record of wrongs done part. We feel very justified in all the subject to and dependent on certain specific conditions. Now, when you get angry at someone the next time or the last time or this morning time, just think about why you got angry. They probably violated your right. Again, they probably didn't meet your expectation. You told them what your expectation was. You told them how you were going to be treated. And if you didn't just come right out and say it, the way you responded tells them. You know, you just don't treat me that way. You can't expect me to treat you good if you're not going to treat me good. Now, that's the way we live our lives, and it just causes trouble. Broken homes, broken marriages, broken partnerships, broken relationships. Everywhere you look, the landscape is shrouded with bones of people who have lived those kind of lives. And Jesus Christ said, you don't have to live that kind of life. You don't have to have enemies. You can overcome, and he who overcomes is the guy I'm looking for. You can't overcome in your own power and your own strength, though. And that sets a lot of guys back. In John 15, Jesus says, look, here's the way it works. You have to abide in me. You have to live in me. You have to gain strength from me. You have to surrender to me. You have to walk with me. If that sounds too much for you, okay, go on to the boneyard. Because that's where you're going to end up. The saddest thing in the world is how many people profess to know Jesus Christ and they're going to end up in the boneyard. Because they've never surrendered this. They've never given it up. They've never gotten to the point in their life where they say, God, I cannot love this woman you gave me. I was frustrated when I said that. I came to the wonderful realization that I cannot love her the way she needs to be loved, deserves to be loved. I can't do it. So you remember my bargain I made with the Lord. You can make bargains, I think, like this with the Lord. I said, God, if she was married to you, she'd be married to the perfect husband. I mean, this guy has his act together. You have your act so together. You know every need she has before she knows she has a need. You're sensitive to her. You understand her. You listen to her. You take her seriously. You romance her. You bring her flowers. You send her cards. You call up and say, I just wanted to hear your voice. Your heart leaps when she walks in the room. If I'm going to be married, I want that kind of relationship. I don't want to be fussing and fighting all the time and just trying to determine who's in charge and who's going to wear the pants and who's hurt and walking on eggshells. And why do we want to live that way? Jesus Christ died on the cross so we wouldn't have to live that way, and we told him we're not interested. If it means that I've got to give up my rights to myself, if it means that you can just treat me any old way you want to and get away with it, I'm not in on that. That's not fair. That's not right. It's not just. And so we just say, I'm going to love conditionally. As long as we understand that, just be honest with your wife or with your friend and just say, you know what? You need to understand I'm a conditional lover, so you better mind your P's and Q's with me. Because our relationship has a shelf life and it's going to last as long as you treat me right. It's pretty much what we say when we get mad and upset and separate. We get one of those four critical spirits. And critical spirit is one of them that'll break up any relationship. Where you're just critical of them. You see all the wrong in them. There's a lot of right in them, but you get to the point where you can just see the wrong. And once you see the 20% wrong, it becomes 100% if you look at it long enough. You can't see the good in them. If you ask a couple that's really at odds and just about broken and done, and say, well, why did you marry them in the first place? Can you think back of what attracted you to them? They really struggle to get back there because they don't want to say anything that's good about them and give up any power or control over the relationship at that point. Who wants to live that way? Well, it's not me, but if I could just get rid of this one, I know the next one's going to be better. I know the next relationship. I mean, Mr. Right or Mr. You know, if I just get Mr. Reasonably Clothed, I would be okay. Because this guy's a loser. This gal is, I can't live with her. I need a gal on my team, not on my back. Second marriages fail much quicker than first. Because we don't ever make peace with the reality that, you know, I'm part of the problem here. And so we have this conditional love, and it flies right in the face of this kind of love. Unconditional love is the divine solution for a fallen world populated by imperfect human beings. God's love has the capacity to persist in the face of rejection and continue on when there's no response at all. See, if you have God's love, you don't have to be treated in a certain way anymore. You've given up your rights, and you don't have a right for that person to treat you fairly or not to cheat you or to neglect you or abandon you. You give them the freedom, the right to do that. That's between them and the Lord. Doesn't have to be your burden. You don't have, you just, you know, it's that get over yourself stuff. You just need to get over yourself. I mean, when God told me to tell that guy in New York that time, I've shared y'all that story. God, this guy's really messed up. What do I tell him? Tell him to get over himself. And I did, and he didn't. But that's his problem. He's got to take care of that with the Lord. I told him what God told me to tell him. And God said, by the way, it wouldn't hurt you either. I thought we were talking about him. Let's not make this about me here. I mean, I like talking about me, but not in this vein. God's love can leap over walls that stop any human love cold. See, what happens in our relationships when we start being conditional, not start, but keep being conditional lovers, is we get critical spirits that lead to a contemptuous spirit. You don't just criticize them, you can't stand them. Don't touch me. I think you need to move out. You just get such contempt in your heart that you just can't stand being around them. And then in the process, you're also getting defensive. They're, regardless of what they're trying to do to empty their resentment bank on you and let you know what you've done or not done to make them happy, to meet their needs, you push back every time. Well, you know, Andy was so perfect in that when he was sharing his testimony a few weeks ago. You haven't sent me a card in 2 years. You haven't given me flowers in 2 years. Well, I believe I have. I'll check my bank statements and find out if I... What we say? Loser. Every time I do that, people come up. You were looking right at me, weren't you? Let me get you all, so okay. So no one to feel personally offended. I'm looking at a bunch of losers here. We all are. We all are losers in that regard, aren't we? Can I get a hearty amen from the congregation? All right, now we've made peace with reality. Okay, we got to make peace with reality. This love is never deflected by unlovable behavior and gives gladly to the undeserving without adding up the cost. Gives gladly to those who don't deserve it and don't think that they have to be paid back. What freedom is that? You'll know the truth, and that's freedom. The truth that sets you free from having to be recognized because of what you've done. Having to be rewarded just because you're doing what you're supposed to do as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, as his disciple. I hear the "but Pete's" going on out there all over the room. But Pete. But you... I've literally had guys tell me, are you telling me that I'm supposed to forgive her and just like she never did it? I said, no. God's telling you that. I mean, there it is right there. It's right here in the Bible. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love toward you in that while you were still a sinner, lost, going to hell, reveling in all your garbage and vomit, Jesus died for you. He didn't wait for you to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for you to meet all of his conditions. He accepted you just the way you are. And that's one of the real essential parts of agape love. I accept you as you are. You don't expect me to accept them. I mean, I've got a resentment bank full of the way they are. What am I supposed to do with that? Choke on it. Because that's what you're doing. You're choking yourself. You're choking him or her. You're choking on it. You want revenge. You want to get even. You want them to hurt like they've hurt you. Who do you think's the God of all that? You know the God. It's the flesh and the devil. And the world will tell you that's correct. That's right. That's the way you're supposed to live your life. That's what's fair and just. And the world embraces that, embraces works-based, performance-based, conditional-based relationships and love. And it kills us. It murders us, literally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It just kills us. We struggle with this like crazy. And because we struggle with this, the world looks at us and they go, I know what you're saying, but your actions speak so loud, I can't believe you're one of his disciples. The world looks at us and says, I'm watching you. I know you go to church on Sunday. I know you have a Bible on your desk at the office or Christian books laying around, but the way you treat people, I'm having a hard time swallowing the fact that you're a disciple of Jesus. See, lost people have an idea who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is. I mean, the fastest growing religion in America today is atheism, as if God doesn't exist, but the demons know he exists. So we got all these brilliant people running around today with all the evidence they'll ever need, according to Psalm 139 and Romans 1. The truth was revealed to them in living cinemascope, surround Grand Canyon kind of display. And we go, there is no God. You know, it serves our purpose to say it is no God, because if there is no God, there are no laws. And if there are no laws, I'm not a lawbreaker. And if there's no laws and there is no God, there's no heaven and there's no hell, and I can live any way I want to. I'll be my own God. That's the oldest religion right there. The oldest religion is Adam and Eve deciding they would be their own God, that they weren't going to follow God's command and don't touch the fruit of that tree. And they decided, I'll be my own God. How's that been working out? How'd that work out for them? You know, he went from being in a hammock to out there swinging a plow. I mean, a hoe. Having to work for all the meals he had. He hadn't had to do that before. And then he found out he had a woman at home wondering where all the beets and rutabagas were. How come you're not bringing in more? We're hungry over here. Get out there and hoe a few more rows. And then he didn't like that because he wasn't getting the respect that he deserved from Eve. And this kind of got translated down to their two sons, and one killed the other, and there you go. And that's the world you and I live in. That's the world we say that we'd rather be in than his world, his kingdom. But he is not going to compromise, and he won't change his mind about how you get into the kingdom, how you get this love. You have to get over yourself. You have to decide, I'm not just going to forgive that guy. I'm going to love him and do good things for him. Take it to the more levels than you ever dreamed you would take it. I'm not just going to go 1 mile. I'm going to go 2 miles, and I'm going to do it joyfully. I'm not just going to turn one cheek. I'm going to turn the other cheek. And I'm not going to do it gritting my teeth. I'm going to do it because Jesus Christ did it. He took my stripes on himself. Jesus turned the other cheek and he went the second. He could never teach this stuff if he hadn't done it and he wasn't going to do it. Everything he taught us to do, everything he said do, he did. He knew it was coming. He knew he came to die. He knew he came to get beat to a pulp and stripped naked and bleeding and suffering and spit on and mocked and made fun of. He knew all that was coming. So he didn't mind telling me and you to turn the other cheek and go the second mile and bless those who persecute you. And please spare him saying it's hard. Don't ever go to God and say, but God, it's hard. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from guys when I'm just holding up the standard of how you're supposed to love your wife and how you're supposed to do with that guy that's suing you unjustly and the guy that fired you unfairly, and the neighbor that grew his tree up, now you blocked your view. Don't tell God it's hard to forgive. Don't tell God it's hard to surrender. It is hard for the human heart, the selfish heart, the egotistical heart, the I want to be in control heart, to surrender that. But consider your options. I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to hold on to my life. And I have the boneyard to look forward to. I'm going to surrender my heart and my life to he who loves me, who accepts me the way that I am, who believes I'm valuable, who's erased all my sin and guilt and shame and forgiven all that, who makes every decision with my best interest in mind, no matter how it feels or what it looks like. This is going to be a blessing. He'll turn it into blessing. Okay, who am I going to put my life in the hands of? Am I going to hold on and not surrender? The Lord showed me when I was preparing for this that there's a lot of men today he's going to have to bypass to get his job done in these last days. He's going to have to just go right over you, right around you, right through you, and choke you in his dust, because this is urgent times, and he's not going to wait on you to get your heart right. Especially you who've been around so long and heard so much and know so much. And he's not just going to sit there and go, okay. I mean, he will, obviously. He'll say, well, take as much time as you need, but we're moving out. The train is leaving the station. And if you want to be over here trying to work out your childish things, and when you read this passage, all those things he said not, don't do this, never does this, all those things are childish things. That's the things he said, get your thumb out of your mouth, get my love for that guy, go serve that guy that's beating you to death. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, he's hanging up there by nails after being beaten to the point of death. And he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you're going, that'd be hard. I don't think I could do that. I used to have guys coming to me, we're missionaries, we're living by faith. What does that mean? That means that we're trusting that God's people believe in what we're doing to take the gospel to Eastern Europe at the time. And guy went, I don't think I could live like that. Live like what? Well, you just trust, you don't know what's coming in, you don't know if you're going to get a paycheck or not. I don't think I could live that way. I said, well, how do you live? What do you mean? Well, I'm living by faith, trusting God. God's been faithful. How are you living? Are you telling me that you got a job and you got a salary, but you're not living by faith? You don't understand that could stop tomorrow? You don't understand that could end at any time? That it all comes from God. Mine comes from God. Yours comes from God. However it comes. Yeah, but living by faith is hard. It's really not. Once you start living by faith, it's a joy. You can't wait to see what God's going to do next. Bill Bright used to say, every day is an exciting adventure for the Christian. And I always think, when's that kicking in? Man, I don't get it. When's all this exciting day come? And then I started walking by faith. I started tithing. I started trusting God to do what God said do. And all of a sudden, I understood what he was talking about. You can't wait to see what God's going to do next. You can't wait to see how he's going to provide for this. You can't wait to see how he's going to work in that relationship. And he just does miracle after miracle after miracle. Which led Susan to say, when we left the mission field where people were giving donations to us on a monthly basis, and then took a pastoral job where I was going to get a salary every week, and she was looking sad, and I looked at her and I said, what's your problem? She says, you know, we're going to be getting a salary every month. And I said, yeah, you got a problem with that? And she says, yeah, I do. I said, what's your problem? We're not going to get to see God do all those miracles he did to provide for us that we've been seeing for the last 16 years. And then it hit me. Boy, she's right. What a joy to trust God. What a joy to live by faith. What a joy to just turn it over to him and have someone that can do all your worrying for you. And the only price you have to pay, salvation, they say, is free, but it costs God his son, and his son his life, and he laid it down for you so we could love people the way he loves us. We don't have to have critical spirits. We don't have to be contemptuous toward anybody. We don't have to. I mean, you can if that's what you choose to do. You don't have to be defensive when people are accusing you and making accusations. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to vindicate yourself. You can just forgive them. And if they're right, admit it, own it, and get it right. You have the courage and the freedom to do that too. And you're not ashamed or too proud to do it. There's a good life out there. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Not just an okay life, I want to fill it up to the very brim with blessing and miracles. I want to use you in a powerful way. And use me. Yeah, use you. I don't need your intellect or your education. I don't need you being living on the right side of the tracks or what impression you're trying to give people. I just need you to let me use you. And I want to use you up. I want to use you to the very dregs. And you know how I may use you? I may put you through trial and difficulty. I may want you to show the world that this trial is not the worst thing that ever happened to you. It was your finest hour. Because they saw a character and a love and a patience and a goodness and a kindness in you they don't see. It's remarkable. And I'm going to put you through this so you can show them that, and then they'll get hungry for me too. They'll want to have what you have. But he's going to have to walk right past a lot of us because we're still not going to buy in. Don't let that be you. There are new things God wants to do in your life today. There are new things the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life today. New things he wants you to learn. New things he wants to teach you. New breakthroughs. There's a lot more to God than we've gotten to yet here, guys. He just needs you to humble yourself under his mighty hand. He wants you to surrender in personal abandonment and absolute trust. And that's not asking too much. That's simply the doorway into abundant living. The doorway into blessing. The doorway into relationship with God and others. That's what he's inviting us to. Would you come along? You want a part of it? You want some of this? It's yours. It's yours today. You may have a job, you may not have a job. You may be married, you may not be married. She may be happy, she may not be happy, but you don't have to one day more let that be your burden. Just do the right thing yourself. Be the man of God you're supposed to be. The guy comes up and I say, why don't you have your wristband on? Well, my wife got mad at me and told me I didn't deserve to wear it. So I took it off. Oh, does that mean you're not a man of God anymore? I don't know. I'm not sure. So you're not sure. I said, let me guess. You did something to hurt her and offend her again. And she got mad. Yeah, that's it. Pretty much it. What'd you do? I don't mean what'd you do to hurt her. I mean, what'd you do after she got offended and hurt? Well, she wouldn't speak to me, so. I said, well, here's what a man of God does. A man of God's not a man of God because he doesn't mess up. We're all going to mess up. We're going to keep messing up. We want to mess up less and be less childish, but we are going to be childish. A man of God, when he's childish and he messes up, he makes it right. Honey, I'm sorry. That was inappropriate. I should have never said that again, and I don't ever want to say it, do it again. And I want to ask you if you would find it in your heart to give me grace and forgive me. And if you will, then pray for me, because I don't want to treat you this way anymore. I'm a man of God. That's what a man of God does. Now go home and do that. And don't come back until you do. We want guys in here, boy. You want to rub up against guys that aren't apathetic, that are fired up for Christ, that are doing the right thing, being men of God because that's who they are. So as we close today, I just want you to think about this. There are two kind of guys, there are lost guys and saved guys here today. There are two kind of Christian guys. There's carnal men, and there's spiritual men that Jesus is Lord of their life. So we get a chance to decide. Billy Graham called it the moment of decision. We get a chance to decide which we are. What have you been there in this last week? Been that carnal guy? You've been getting offended easily? You got bitter and resentful thoughts, anger towards someone that you'd love to let go of, but it's been just too hard to do? It is hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. But it's hard for you, but not hard for the Holy Spirit. So guess who you need to let control this situation? Guess who you need to let control? Lord, come in and fill me with your love. And then go do acts of love. Do it. Because I'm not really sure where you get the love and then go love them, or you go do it anyway and the love comes. I don't know. I think maybe both work in certain situations. Just do the right thing. Fill your heart. Say, God, fill my heart with your love for that person. And then show me how to demonstrate that in life. Show me how to love them. Show me how to hang there and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done and they don't know what they're doing. See them not as the enemy, but in bondage to the enemy. Because if you see them as the enemy, you'll never get there. But if you see them in bondage to the enemy, just like you are in bondage to the enemy, not forgiving them. Two people in bondage are going to have a hard time coming to a place of peace. One person can come to a place of peace, and that'll make all the difference. Are you conditionally waiting on them to change, to forgive them? Are you going to forgive them like Jesus Christ forgave you? Forgive them and set the prisoner free, only to find the prisoner is me. This is the man that will be remarkably changing the world today. We didn't change the world in the ballot booth the other day. We're not going to change it in November. The world's changing. I mean, no doubt about that. It's going in the wrong direction in our personal opinions. Question is, what are you going to do? What difference are you going to make? Yeah, I'm going to go vote, but I don't expect that to change the world. I want to love my neighbor. I want to love my wife. I want to love you. I don't care how you act or what you do or how you treat me. I want to love you. That's all my obligation, just love you. I don't have to worry about getting even. I don't have to worry about being vengeful or full of wounds and hurts. And you know, I have to do that. They'll come, but I'll get over them quicker now. The Holy Spirit heals my heart towards you, and I hope you toward me. So if you're in on that, if that's the life you want, if you want to live that, I don't care what happened yesterday or the day before you showed up, if you want to walk out of here and say, this is a life, I want that abundant life, I'm going to lay it down, cast all my cares on Him because He cares for me. I want a God that cares for me, that I can lay my anxieties, my fears, my worries down. That's the God that you have. Would you let Him loose? If you're in, let's stack hands and pray that as we close. Father, there are men here today that are in that lost category. Some think they're saved and some know they're not. And we just pray, Father, that You would give them that light, that love that they need to understand, that they can trust You with their lives. It's not a scary thing to put your heart and your life in the hands of Almighty God who sent His Son and died for us. And for guys here that you're going today, when they walked in, you're going to have to pass them by because they're not hungry anymore. They're more apathetic. They haven't shared their faith since a hog's ate grandma, as we say. And so, Lord, You want them to repent. You want all of us to repent who have not been the useful instruments in Your hand to love people the way You loved us. So, Lord, we're making new resolutions today and new commitments in our heart that we cannot keep apart from Your Holy Spirit, but we know we're sinners. We know we're going to offend people. Left to ourselves, we're set to self-destruct. Father, we don't want to be left to ourselves. We want You to be in control of our life. We want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life. We want to live under the authority of Your word like never before. We want to be men of prayer, men who can't wait to get to the prayer meeting, who can't wait to talk with You, who can't turn it over to You in prayer and intercede for others. We want to be men of prayer, Father. We want to pray like You did when You got up every day and You'd go out and pray. We want to be those kind of men. We want to link together with guys like the men in this room. We want to link together with guys that are chasing after Christ. We want to get caught up in their draft. Help us be those kind of men. And Father, we want to give it away. We want to just, as ambassadors and embassies and all this stuff, Lord, it's just simply committing to each other and to be salt and light in our neighborhoods, to build bridges to people that, if they knew Jesus, they'd want to come to Jesus. And You put us in that neighborhood to get that done. So, Lord, thanks for being such a great God. Thanks for giving us such a great Savior. Thanks for holding the bar high and never lowering it because Your Holy Spirit can get us there. And we pray that You would. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.
Make me a better person, Pastor.
A Ministry to Men is an online ministry of Influencers West. If you want to hear an audio version of this or any of our past sermons, you can find our weekly podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Simply search A Ministry to Men. To keep up with our latest M2M events, news, or updates, You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or go to our website, aministrytomen.org. Remember, that's aministry2men.org. Like this message? We now have a whole slew of 2 to 4 minute video shorts over on our YouTube channel that you can share and pass around with friends. Link is in the description. Thank you for watching, and to make sure you're notified when a new M2N video is up, why not hit that follow button? God bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.